Hey y'all, welcome back to The Score. My name is Callie Montague, your new official host, and on this episode, I get to talk to none other than number one man in the world on the heel side, Mr. Cooper Freeman. So the original purpose of this interview was to write his profile, which for those that don't know, in TRJ land, we write profiles to kind of serve as a landing page for our top 15 in the world heading into the finals. And we start early just because obviously that changes, but it's always good to have a collection of big wins, background, things like that on these guys so that when someone wants to know anything about them, they can Google it. It takes them to this profile and it's just kind of collection of all the things, all things Cooper Freeman, all things Corbin Rice, things like that. So that was the original purpose of this interview, but because they've won 112,000 this year, they won Houston. And when I recorded this intro, they just came off of winning Nampa. Man, these two are just having a blast and they're getting to live their dreams and we're getting a front row seat to it. And I really enjoyed getting to talk to both of them. And Corbin's is already posted. So if you haven't had a chance, go give that a listen. But that was the original purpose of these interviews. But just because they're both so great to talk to, I figured why not make it a podcast, let these people hear from the guys that have been leading the world since March, and I don't think I have any plans of slowing down. So without further ado, let's get into getting to know Mr. Cooper Freeman. This episode of The Score is being brought to you by our friends at Fastback Ropes. A longtime supporter of the Team Roping Journal, Fastback takes pride in building quality ropes that offer the durability, performance, and consistency ropers can rely on. Let's get into the episode. So let's kick off with some background stuff. Talk to me first about what it was like growing up in Missouri. Cause have you lived there your whole life?
Yep.
Okay, cool. Just kind of tell me the story of, you don't have to go like all the way back to, you know, diapers, but if that's when you started roping, then I guess you could, but, talk to me about what it was like growing up and what that all looked like.
So I grew up in Carthage, Missouri. My mom and dad, they have an indoor arena and there's a steakhouse and a Western store. It's all connected. Mm-hmm. And they bought that. It was just the restaurant and arena whenever I was a baby. So I've grown up there and they have jackpot team ropings and barrel races every week and stuff on the weekends. So I've grown up around horses and roping and stuff like that my whole life.
And then did your family, like anybody else in your family, rodeo, or did they rodeo your parents or anything, or rope or whatever?
My dad roped a little bit. My sister, she breakaway ropes. She's going to some circuit rodeos and stuff. So
cool.
My cousins roped whenever I was littler, but for the most part, I'm the first one that's really rodeoed in my family.
Nice. So how did it all kind of get started? Like, what got you started in doing it?
I just grew up. My mom and dad took me to all the U.S. ropings whenever I was, you know, old enough to go, probably 11, 12, 13, something like that. Mm-hmm. And just kept getting better. And then whenever I was 14, I started amateur rodeoing. And I just stayed around the house, went to a few. And then whenever I was 16, 17, I went to the IRA rodeos. And then, I don't know, just kept getting better. And then I circuit rodeoed whenever I was 19. Mm-hmm. And then started rodeoing whenever I was 20.
Sweet. So forgive me for not knowing, my best friend's actually from Missouri, but she didn't rodeo. I mean, she run barrels, I guess, but I don't know much about like that, like the state, the area, like was it super roper rodeo heavy? Like, I just don't know any better. So you're gonna have to tell me.
There really was a lot of roping that goes on. You can go to a jackpot dang near, I bet you could go to three jackpots a week. So it's pretty, there's dang sure quite a bit. And the amateur rodeos are, they're a pretty big deal around there. There's a bunch of little associations. And then I live like on the Oklahoma border, kind of. So I'm dang sure close to a lot of roping.
Cool. I'm assuming like mom and dad are part of this answer, but has there been anybody that, or was there anybody that kind of helped you with your roping early on? And like, did you go to any clinics or did you rope with anybody when you were younger?
My dad helped me tremendously. Whenever I was a kid, Walt Woodard would come up to the barn up there. Mm-hmm. And put on a school, and he would help me for a few days a year. So I'd try to retain all the knowledge that he filled me in with. And then whenever I went to college, I went to Cisco College, and I moved in with Tyler and Brittany Worley, and
Cool.
Tyler has helped me so much, and they've gave me great opportunities with some horses and just a spot to live. And it's I got to give a lot of credit to Tyler for helping me there.
Very cool. Did you didn't go anywhere after Cisco, right? You just finished
Nope,
there.
I just went to Cisco for
Okay.
2 years.
That's what I thought. Sweet. Remind me, how old are you? Are you 23, 24?
23, yeah.
Okay, sweet. Well, when did you, and it sounds like it was just kind of a process, so that's fine if that's the answer, but when did you kind of decide that this was something that you really wanted to take seriously and really kind of go at and maybe try to make a living at?
Well, it was always something I dreamed of whenever I was a little kid, and it's kind of crazy. Like growing up in Missouri, nobody has moved off and truly like made a living. There's guys close to me that did, but
Yeah.
it was always kind of just mentioned that it's hard to do, like you're not gonna rope for a living. And so it's kind of, it was always one of the deals, like it was a lifelong dream, but just growing up, going like following the process of, you know, the number system getting better, that was kind of, it was always a goal, but to actually get to where I knew I wanted to, it was probably whenever I went to college and just learned a lot and figured out that maybe there was a chance to do it.
Right. So you would say, like, when you come down to Texas, it kind of, because right there where you were, that's most people are trying to do it for a living, at least kind of in that area. So maybe open your eyes to that a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah, there, I mean, whenever I went to college, that was kind of the goal, but
Yeah.
I was never around all those guys, so I didn't know if it was, if I was good enough or not, and that was, I still not sure, but it was just it was a big deal to get down there and get around everybody and just kind of see how it all works.
So maybe not somebody that you've like roped with or ever really been around, but now you're a little older and obviously you're healing pretty good. So who did you like look up to in your roping when you were little? And it doesn't have to be like somebody you went to as a clinic or like roped with, but who did you try to mimic your style after or try to be like roping growing up? Kind of who was that for you?
I mean, everybody watched Jade Corkle. He was the best whenever I was a kid and still is. So, but there's a lot of guys. I mean, you watch Travis Graves, Jake Long, you know, there's a lot of guys. I'm sure, I know I'm leaving a bunch of them out, but just all the guys you get to see on TV, just, you know, even go like Clay O'Brien Cooper, Rich Skelton, all them guys. It's just watching all them and seeing how they do it and how they ride their horses. It was just, I liked watching everybody that was good. It was pretty cool to get to see that.
Yeah, for sure. So then went to college, made the college finals, right? With Corbin?
Yep.
Yeah,
Yep.
sweet. And then when did you buy your pro card? Was when you were 20 maybe? Or did you have it when you were in school?
I bought it whenever I was 19,
Okay, sweet.
and I went to the Great Lakes Circuit 1 year on my permit, and then my rookie year I was 20 when
Cool.
my rookie year I roped with Mason Appleton.
Gotcha. So talk to me about kind of those first couple years circuit rodeo, and then obviously we'll talk about this year separately, but what were those first kind of years like, and was it everything you thought it would be? Was there some big surprises? I know you didn't like go super hard, but what were those first couple years like?
The first year that I circuit rodeoed, I roped with Adam Rose, and it was good. I learned so much just how to get around, really. It was way less intense than it is out here, but
Yeah.
there was a lot to learn. And then whenever the first year me and Mason roped together, and it was both of our rookie years, and we learned a lot. I don't know if it was the right thing or not to go with two rookies, but he did a good job. We didn't do terrible, I didn't think, for our first years, so
Yeah.
we had fun. And there's a lot to learn. I mean, there's stuff that you can't even tell people that you just got to figure out along the way. So it's, I feel like the more I'm going, the more I'm figuring out. But then I talk to older guys, and it's crazy how much I don't know.
Right. It's crazy how you feel. The older you get, the less you know. And we've been told that our whole lives, but it really is the truth.
It's very true.
It's very true. Now you're roping with Corbin. Obviously, had a little bit of success, I would say, sitting right up there at the top. But what do you think is different now? And you can answer this any way you want to, either with your game, with your mental game, with just what you know now. Like, what's different when you were a rookie versus now?
Well, now it's, I mean, a lot of confidence rolling into the summer with roping and just where we're sitting.
Yeah.
But it's pretty cool to know that everybody has a chance to make the finals. It's just where you do good, or I mean, it's there's a lot that goes into it. There's a lot of different ways to make the finals, and I don't know. I don't know if we got lucky or what, but there's still, that's what I've been telling everybody. They keep asking me, what the plan is, but the plan, it hadn't really changed since before we won Houston. We're gonna keep rodeoing, and there's a lot left to win before we make the finals. So
Yeah,
just
for
keep
sure.
our head down and keep winning, and just see where the trail takes us.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll talk about Houston, but before we get into that, let's talk about some of the horses you had growing up. We'll talk about your good ones after this, but like, what were some of those key horses you had growing up that helped you, like, help the light switch come on? Did you have any of those? Kind of tell me about those growing up.
I had a horse, and I think I was probably 12 or 13 whenever I got him, and he wasn't nothing special, but he'd never messed up. He was just solid horse, and I won a lot of money on him, and I got to give a lot of credit to that horse. He was sound forever, and he just let me win. He didn't care what the setup was, or he was just always on my team, and that horse took me through a lot of years, and that horse, I had so much confidence on that horse, and just what he did for me was pretty cool. So after him, I bought one of the horses I have now. I bought him whenever he was 5 from a good friend of mine, and I think he's 15 now. So I've had him for a while, and he's been good. He was very green whenever I got him, but I'd say whenever he was about 8 or 9, he turned into the best one I had, and I rode him pretty much everywhere. I've had several other horses in between. I had a gray horse. I think I had him for 2 years, and I sold him. But he was very good. He was maybe like the first step up, like seasoned horse that I had. So he was good. I won some on him. And then whenever I was in college, a couple of my horses were kind of lame at the time. And Tyler Worley, him and Brittany had a horse around there. And I took him to some college rodeos, and he felt like nothing I had ever rode before. So I bugged him long enough, they sold him to me, and I still got him. He's one of my favorite horses that I got, so he's with me on the road right now.
Cool.
And the dun horse that I won Houston on, I actually the roan horse and the little sorrel horse that I got right now, they were both hurt last summer. So I had a greener horse that I had been riding, and it just wasn't going very good. I wasn't doing very good, and I called Trey Smith, and I said, he always has good horses, and I was like, man, is there any, do you have anything for sale? And he said, yep, I do. So I went over there. I think I run 5 or 6 steers on him, and I bought him, and he's been very good to me ever since. He's very forgiving and always on my team, and he's a fun horse to ride. I like him a lot.
Very cool. Besides Houston, and then I know you qualified for the college finals, what other big wins, and that can be rodeo, jackpot, I don't care what they are, but kind of big wins have you had, just so I can have a list of them?
I won the Cody Knight Rodeo 2 years ago with Kreese Thompson. That was like my first major rodeo win, I would say.
Cool.
And I've won second at the Open finale in Vegas twice.
Nice.
And I won second in like the 11 shootout 1 year with my cousin. That was in Oklahoma City. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's talk about Houston. So, I'm assuming that's your first, it was like you've never roped there before, right? Like that was y'all's first
Nope.
time being there.
Yep, that was my very first Houston.
Cool. So, we don't have to talk about all of it because I know y'all talked Taylor and that was a great story and
I can go back and look into that. But now that it's been a little ways, and like I told Corbin, like the y'all's story is not just, well, yeah, they won Houston, that's why they're number one in the world. Like obviously things are working in other ways. But since that's a huge part of it, I think, what, now that you're a few months past it, like how cool is that? I mean, to check off a win like that early in your career, that like some guys are gonna die and never get to win that rodeo, that have been rodeoing their whole lives. Like how special was that win for you?
To be for the rodeo to have been a couple months ago or 3 or 4 months ago, and to look back, it's crazy to know that we did it. And there's guys that have rodeoed their whole life and won't do it, but it was a huge blessing to me and Corbin and our families. But the process of going through it was very cool, and just thankful to get to be there and have the opportunity, and to get it done was just, it's kind of unreal in some aspects. But it's I still daydream about it and think about it, and I'm like, man, that's crazy that it was our first time and we won it.
Yeah. And I remember I read the story and you called it the coolest rodeo you've ever been to. What made it so cool? Other than like, I'm sure just the weight that it carries, but what made that experience the coolest thing you've ever done?
Well, for one, everybody always talks about Rodeo Houston, and that's what everybody goes all year to get into Houston and have the chance of winning it. And so that the prestige of the event is crazy, but also just being there, we're in a NFL football stadium, and just knowing that, being in there, that was very cool. And just whenever you ride in there to warm your horse up before the rodeo starts, or to ride down to the boxes, just to look around and see the size of the rodeo and the amount of people that's in there, and what they do for the contestants, is very cool.
Yeah, and y'all got in there. I mean, obviously y'all didn't get in through the world standings from last year, but through the current world standings, like the 2026 one. So what all did y'all, like what big rodeos did y'all win in the wintertime, last winter, I guess, to get y'all into that?
We went to we w last well as soon as the season got over and the 2020 season started, we went to Rosenberg and Hempstead, and
Oh, yeah.
I think we won second at Rosenberg, so we almost got in off of winning that,
Yeah.
but we didn't. So then we went to like Belleville, Lubbock, then we won a little bit there, and then we actually flew to Brawley, California. And before we flew out there, we thought we had it done, but we was like, just to make sure. Well, that was the last rodeo, and we were like, we're gonna go just to make sure nothing crazy happens and we get bumped out. So
Yeah.
actually, Corbin got in a rig with a couple other guys, and they drove out there, and I flew out there, and I think we won like fourth or fifth, and then won like $1,000 or something, and
Yeah.
that was enough to secure the deal. So there was a lot of rodeoing that went on to get into Houston.
Yeah. You think it was worth it?
I'd say it was worth
I'm just asking. Just
it.
making sure everybody agrees that it was probably a good call to make sure y'all did that.
It was pretty cool though, just being in Houston and like knowing that we had to go to a bunch of stuff that we did not want to go to have the chance to get into Houston. And then as we kept progressing through Houston, it was like, man, that's crazy that it's all paying off,
Yeah.
that we went to all that stuff.
Yeah.
This episode of The Score is presented by Fastback Ropes. A longtime supporter of the Team Roping Journal, Fastback takes pride in building quality ropes that offer the durability, performance, and consistency that ropers can rely on. With commitment to craftsmanship, innovation, and customer satisfaction, Fastback continues to create products designed to bring value both in and out of the arena. Visit fastbackropes.com to shop ropes and gear, find a retailer, or download the latest catalog. Now let's get back into the episode.
Okay, so now let's talk about you and Corbin, which is you're in the vehicle with him and you want to lie and be nice about him. That's fine, but you don't
I'm
have
actually
to.
not.
Oh, okay, good. Oh, perfect. Then we can speak freely. I didn't know if you were or not. So I kind of know the story of how y'all started. He said that you were needing like a run, like after Uvalde, right? Or you needed a run in Uvalde and he was full or whatever. And then y'all roped after that, right?
Yep.
Cool.
I was looking for a run for the San Antonio qualifier in Uvalde. And he told me that he already had a run there, but he needed a run or he needed a partner for the rest of the year if I was interested. So
cool.
What's
that like roping with him? I mean, like, what about y'all's game works in your opinion?
I really like our team. I feel like Corbin, he does a very good job. He scores great. He's got a couple great horses.
Yeah.
And he just hardly ever takes us out of the game. He seems like he gets a good start and turns a lot of steers, and that takes a lot of pressure off of me. It's not like I'm going to get to throw it 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
He turns a lot of steers, gives me a lot of opportunity. And I think it's really fun. It seems like, obviously not all the time, but it seems like we catch a lot. We don't necessarily win a lot, but it's fun to catch steers.
Yeah.
So we get along great and we have fun together and we go together as much as we can, but it's very fun. We have fun together and seems like we do pretty good. So
yeah,
seems to be working out.
Yeah. Are you somebody, which he told me, like, as a team, y'all don't break it down just a whole lot. Like, if you need to, you will, but like, y'all are pretty just like, man, whatever happens works out great, but not breaking it down a lot. But in your own roping, are you somebody that does that? Like, are you watching runs back 1,000 times, driving down the road, trying to work out little kinks, or just when the feet are back, you're throwing your rope? What kind of guy are you in that way?
I don't break it down a whole lot. I watch good runs and see what felt good and went right. And I watch bad runs and see what went wrong and what I need to do. And then I don't break it down a lot. My practice sessions, if something's not feeling right or working right, I'll figure it out and fix it. And then, but as far as like the run or how we need to rope or none of that, I don't like breaking it down too much. I don't like trying to set a trap.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like whenever you try to set a trap for the steer, it seems like you fall into it more often than not. So that's kind of what one of my favorite things about our run and our partnership is we both just have confidence in each other. And whether it's right or wrong, I kind of have the mentality that you're going to win where you're supposed to. And I don't know. It seems to, for me to be more fun, just riding the roller coaster and try to fix what's going wrong and keep doing what's going right and just roll on.
Yeah. I've heard you talk. I've watched your like listen interviews, things like that, read stories. You talk about your faith a lot, and that's something that guys either do talk about it or they don't talk about it. Those are my only two options here. So how much of a factor does that play into your rope? And like, are you a guy that, man, it sounds like you are, like, this God's plan, he gave me this opportunity, I'm going to take it? Or do you, like, what's your stance on that and kind of the how your faith plays into all your open?
I'm a very big believer in that God has a plan and a path paved for everybody. And I just like to sit back and enjoy the ride and just have faith and trust that he'll take me where I need to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that, honestly, rodeo and that brings a lot of peace of mind that, if it's going really good or really bad, it's all part of a plan.
Yeah.
So it's just enjoy the good times and just ride out the bad times, and it'll all work out and you'll end up where you're supposed to end up.
Which, yeah, I'm sure that takes, me and Corbin talked about it. Like, y'all being number one in the world takes a lot, maybe not the pressure off, but kind of, like, I told him it's like the opposite of being, now you're being chased instead of doing the chasing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I'm sure, correct me if I'm wrong, but having your faith based in beliefs like that, that takes it off too. You're like, man, I'm not chasing anything. Like, if it's in front of me, great, I'm gonna take the opportunity. If not, we're gonna be fine either way. So I bet that takes a little bit of the pressure off, sounds like.
It does, and that's what, like, I've thought about Houston a lot, and I'm like, man, if that was God's plan of us making the finals, then that's very cool and awesome. And if that was his way of providing for us, and his path doesn't have us to make the finals this year, then I'm perfectly fine either way. As long as we do everything in our power to do what we can for ourselves and leave the rest up to him, I'll be grateful either way.
I'm not saying you're going to make the NFR. I'm not saying that. But on the chance you do, on the, I'm going to say 70, 80% chance that y'all do right here, what would that mean to you? I'm sure it's been a dream, but talk to me about what that would mean if you get to run one in the Little Yellow Arena.
I mean, that's something that you grow up just absolutely dreaming about. And it's, as a little kid, you think that you can do it. And then there's a part of you that thinks you can do it. And then there's a part of you that thinks it's out of reach. So to have the opportunity to run one in there, it would mean so much to me. Just the past, 5 to 10 years, what I've put into it and what my family's put into it, I know it would mean the world to them. They help me out more than they can imagine. So it would be a huge deal for me and my whole family just to fulfill a lifelong dream. I don't know. I catch myself daydreaming about it a lot, but I don't know. It's something that will either happen or not, and we'll know here in a couple months, but it would dang sure be a lifelong dream come through.
I bet so. Well, were you one of those kids like when you were growing up and you were running steers and like the last year you ran, your dad said, man, this is 10th round NFR. Like, were y'all like that? Because we were. And so what's crazy is like that could happen. That very much could happen. That scenario you play out when you're 14 100 times on the Cowboy Tour or whatever, like that's very fixing to be a reality. So I'm sure that's pretty
No,
special.
that's what me and my cousins, we used to rope the fast lane, and we would always go to all the summer rodeos, and then you had to catch so many to make the NFR or whatever. And it's just crazy the time and thought and everything that's been involved in the process is pretty cool to even now to look and see that it has paid off and it's becoming closer to a dream. So it's not over yet. We got a lot of winning left to do, but just even the journey of not even making the NFR, but just rodeoing is very much a dream come true.
All right, last one. So say you've got a guy, or not a guy, excuse me, a kid. Young kid, younger than you, and he's like, man, I think I want to rodeo for a living, or I think I want to go pro rodeo, or whatever he might say. What is some advice you would give a young person that thinks they want to go rodeo for a living?
Depending on the age of the person, but as far as a younger kid, there's no excuse or anything that can hold you back from being great. It's all in how much time and effort you want to put into it. And it's a grind, and it's not a fast process. And the more you put into it, the more you'll get out of it. And there's guys out there that have worked their whole life at it, and you're not gonna beat them immediately. So I don't, you can't work too hard at it, and there's nothing that should stop you from being as good as you want to be.
Well, thank you, sir. I sure appreciate you.
Thank you.
Alrighty, everybody, that does it for another episode of The Score, this time with number one healer in the world, Mr. Cooper Freeman. I hope everybody enjoyed it as much as I did. He was obviously fabulous to talk to, and just, man, they're just having fun, and it's always a blast to get to talk to those guys out there when they're having it their way and getting to make some dreams come true. So thank you again to our friends at Fastback Ropes. Remember that if you need gear, ropes, to find a retailer, anything like that, visit fastbackropes.com, and we will catch you at the next one.